The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, Boker Tov, how are you?
Boker Tov, I was reading about the Ukrainian Jewish oligarch called Hanadi Korban, who conducted this interview on Ukrainian radio on Friday, and he said that he has issued a pulsa denura against Vladimir Putin. And he went on to say that even though this pulsa denura, which is a death curse, a Jewish death curse, apparently doesn't necessarily have a lot of logic to it, but it's good because some of the leaders against whom the pulsa denura has been issued also are irrational, and apparently this stacks up against each other, that it has this effect. And he thinks that it's been effective because the Dnipro area, which is the area where he lives and has strong allegiance to, apparently hasn't been hit by Russian forces since the pulsa denura was issued against Vladimir Putin. For people who don't really know what the pulsa denura is.
I've never heard of it. I didn't know we had Jewish curses. Jeez, I feel like I'm so lacking in my education.
This is a serious, serious curse.
Really?
It's a death curse.
Yes.
And it has been issued against prime ministers, Israeli prime ministers in the past. It is attributed by some to the Zohar, even though the first instances of the curse actually being mentioned are more 20th century. It's an Aramaic term, the pulsa denura, and it's described as involving having at least 10 mystics gather at midnight after they fasted for 3 days straight.
Oh, it seems like a lot of work, Anthony.
They have to light black candles and blow a shofar before intoning the curse, and then they have to blow out the candles. And it's something which is very, very seriously taken, particularly in some of the religious communities. The pulsa denura, famously, the pulsa denura was issued against former Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin when he signed the Oslo Accords. Also, apparently, has been issued against Naftali Bennett and former Prime Minister Ariel Sharon, I think relating to the disengagement from Gaza. So this is a very, very seriously taken thing. Pulsa denura is a Jewish curse. It's a death curse. And apparently now been issued against President Vladimir Putin of Russia. The newspapers full of information about inflation in Israel. Apparently the yearly inflation in July jumped to 5.2%, which is the highest inflation rate that Israel has had over the past 14 years. House prices jumped by 17.8% annual increase, the highest in more than a decade. The Israeli inflation is supposed to be managed at an upper range of 3%, currently at over 5%. So obviously not within the range which the Bank of Israel is hoping to try to manage inflation. Some people are saying, well, it's still not as high as what we're seeing in the United States and in Europe. The OECD countries are currently running at inflation rates which exceed 9%. The U.S. also in a similar range, at 8.5% or thereabouts. And so not quite as bad as other countries, but still very, very high for Israel. We're not accustomed to having such high inflation. Cost of fruit jumped by 8.5%, the cost of transportation by 3.5%. The cost of fuel has gone up by more than 100% just over the past year. Ironically, goods like certain items actually had the price come down, reduced price. Clothing prices came down for clothing, there were some other items where prices seemed to come down. But overall, we are on an upward spiral for the first time in such a long time. And I just wonder how many people know what it's like to live in an inflationary time when now, unfortunately, also some people are losing their jobs. So I think that employment rates are going down. And this is being countered by the increases in interest rates. We now have to learn about our economics again, because we haven't really needed to know too much about macroeconomics over the past decade or so. And I just wonder how many kids coming out of school who have gone through our schooling system and been educated perhaps at university, and for the first time are saying, hang on a second, now we have to start to understand exactly what macroeconomics is all about. We're in a very, very inflationary period. And of course, with the housing prices going up by 17% year on year over the last year, that's a very, very serious situation for us to be in.
It really, really is very scary as well. An Israeli soldier was killed near Tulkarem last night in an incident that is believed to have involved friendly fire. I hate the term friendly fire because it still kills in the same way and it just sounds nicer, but it really isn't.
It doesn't sound nice at all, but it's a way of saying that unfortunately this involves fire that was directed towards our own soldiers from their own friends, from their own team members. This comes not from the enemy, but from within. And, you know, it's not something that we take very lightly, but one has to also be mature and large enough to admit that mistakes have been made. And in the process, unfortunately, in this case, an Israeli soldier has been killed. Initially last night, there was a report about a terror attack that took place in the Tulkarem area directed against Israeli soldiers. Some reports of a drive-by shooting. And then it emerged as time went on that this was not a terror attack at all. And it was not a drive-by shooting. And unfortunately, it was just a lack of coordination between soldiers within the IDF. And of course, no soldier would want to direct fire against his own fellow soldiers. This is something which will unfortunately live with whoever was responsible for initiating that fire. That is going to be something that will live with them for the rest of their lives. This is not something that anybody wants to have to go through. So of course, support to the people who are involved in that particular incident. And of course, the Chief of General Staff, Aviv Kochavi, has announced that he will visit the site of the friendly fire later today, just for him to get a first-hand understanding of exactly what went on there and what happened. And it's important for us to be able to stand up and to admit that these mistakes are made and were made and do happen, because if we don't admit to it and if we're not prepared to stand up and take a responsibility for it, then we will not learn the lessons and we will therefore not be able to prevent things like this from happening in the future. So the first step, unfortunately, is to obviously support the family of that soldier who has been lost, a life that has been lost unnecessarily, to support the soldier who was involved in the friendly fire, who initiated the fire, to understand exactly how that could have happened. Was it his mistake? Was it a mistake from one of his commanding officers? Was it a mistake by the army in general in terms of the training that they've been given, in terms of the communications that have gone down during that particular incident? Where does the error lie, even though the individual, unfortunately, will always carry that with him, even, you know, though the mistake might not have been his own personal mistake, he might have been acting under orders. Nonetheless, that is a bullet that come from his own weapon, and unfortunately, he will have to carry that forward. So lots of support needed for him, and of course, lessons to be learned about how this can be avoided.
Obviously, you feel sorry for everybody, the families involved, but I just feel for the poor kid who fired the shot, thinking that it's just devastating, and what a horrible and difficult journey ahead for everybody involved. Really, really, just so awful. Two far right parties have decided to run separately after failing to reach an agreement. How does this impact the elections, if at all?
Well, I think it could potentially have a significant impact on the elections. We're talking, of course, about the Religious Zionist Party under the leadership of Bezalel Smotrich, and we're talking about the Otzma Yehudit Party under the leadership of Itamar Ben-Gvir. These are two parties and two individuals on the far right of the Israeli political spectrum. Both of them are people who like to attract attention, who like to undertake things which are designed to be provocative. So they are really, you know, they do everything in their power. Their politics is really all about provocation and all about representing Jewish interests in the most extreme possible way without necessarily giving much consideration to what the implications might be for their actions and for the politics that they're following. I, of course, understand that they wish to protect Jewish interests first and foremost, and I think that it would be fair to say that most of the parties that will be represented in the election wish to protect Jewish interests first and foremost, but there are, of course, other interests at stake here. And sometimes by protecting alternative interests, by protecting the interests of our Arab neighbors, by protecting the interests of the Bedouins that we live with, by protecting those interests, we in turn protect Jewish interests, because to the extent that we are all able to live together in peace and security, we all benefit from it rather than simply trying to constantly kick sand in the eye of the person who is next to you, because by doing so, you might well protect yourself for a little while they recover from the sand in the eye. But as soon as they recover their vision, they are quite likely to want to kick sand in your eye. And the question is, have you really done yourself any favors by doing that? And that's the question that I ask to Bezalel Smotrich and to Itamar Ben-Gvir, who seem to wish to kick sand in people's eyes at almost every opportunity. Of course, they have quite a significant following, but unfortunately, while they are two separate parties, their following is split, and therefore it made a lot of sense not only for them, but also for Likud leader Netanyahu. Makes sense for him that they come together, because in the last election, as a combined effort, they managed to secure 6 seats. And those 6 seats are 6 seats that the Likud and Netanyahu can rely upon in order to support him and his endeavors to regain the prime minister's seat after the election. But by these two parties running separately, and this was announced by Itamar Ben-Gvir yesterday, saying that he was unable to come to an agreement with Bezalel Smotrich, that he was negotiating bad faith. At first, the Smotrich felt that his party is more important in the negotiation between the two of them, even though Ben-Gvir maintains that his party, the Otzma Yehudit party, is actually bigger and therefore should have more of the pie when these two parties come to negotiate how they're going to cooperate with each other. In the end, he gave up the party leadership and he gave up the majority of the seats, but he came to a point, he claims, where he could no longer give up on the rights of Otzma Yehudit, and therefore he says they will run separately. Smotrich has said it's a shame that Ben-Gvir is not going to run with him, and he has called upon him to return to the negotiation table. But it's somewhat ironic that we're finding these two individuals who are uncompromising in their politics, all of a sudden having to find compromises between each other. And potentially that's why this is not going to work, because they are so uncompromising to begin with.
Anthony, just before we talk about the final story quickly, a few people asking, did anything happen to the either Putin or the prime ministers that were cursed?
Well, we do know what the outcome of Yitzhak Rabin's life was.
Was he one of them?
Look back upon.
Oh my goodness.
Yitzhak Rabin had a pulsa denora pronounced upon him when he signed the Oslo Accords.
I'm so sorry I asked that question.
Now.
Yes.
Now, we can all jump to our own conclusions about who, why, what, and where, and what was the cause of what. But Naftali Bennett, for example, apparently also had a pulsa denora pronounced
on him. Yeah, but he's lost all of his hair.
Arik Sharon. And he lost all his hair, exactly. So, So it's. I'm not going to be the one to draw conclusions
about what is connected
to what. But, you know, we can all look back on history and make our own decisions, right?
Absolutely right. Look, the good thing is it's a lot of effort to put one of these pulsa denuras on. You can't just wake up in a bad mood and curse somebody. Like, you've got to go find a black candle somewhere. That can't be easy either. So, yeah.
Fasting for 3 days.
Yeah, well, there you had me at that.
This is not a simple exercise.
And you've got to be up at midnight. Sure. And you've got to be up awake at midnight. Either way, Anthony Rauch, we do not have more time. We'll talk about the Israeli men's marathon team tomorrow. Thank you, as always. It's 8 o'clock. We'll catch you for the Israel Report tomorrow morning, 7:45.